Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Dalet Amud Bet. Yesterday we left off with a machloket between Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara brought the opinions of Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan with regards to the miluim. They had a machloket as to whether those items that are found within the miluim mean that they are automatically me'akev. Anything that is written, as we'll see later in today's daf, within the context of the miluim, are me'akev the miluim. And that means no matter whether this item, lidorot, is me'akev, or whether lidorot it's not me'akev, it does not matter. Just because it's contained within the miluim, that's enough to make it me'akev. We concluded yesterday that that was the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, based on the question that was posed by Reish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan, which Rabbi Yochanan did not respond to, indicating that Rabbi Yochanan agreed with what Reish Lakish said, that anything that is written within the miluim is me'akev. On the other hand, we had the opinion of Rabbi Chanina, which said that anything that is me'akev lidorot, anything that, if he didn't do it, lidorot, in future generations, would cause a problem within the performance of the korban, that would ruin it. That too, in the miluim, would ruin it. But something lidorot, something that in the future would not cause a problem when you did not do it, then so too, by the miluim, it would also not cause a problem. Gemara wants to know, my benayhu, what is the nafkamina between these two opinions? What is it that lidorot is not me'akev, but is mentioned within the context of miluim, which according to Rabbi Yochanan would be me'akev, according to Rabbi Chanina would not be me'akev? Some Rabbi Yosef gives us the first example of that, which is smicha ike beinayhu, the smicha of the placing of the hands of the kohanim on the top of the korban, to whether it's sometimes to form a vidui, whether it's to give significance to the korban that is being mukrav, or to connect between the individual who's bringing the korban and the korban that is going on the mizbeach. So the mandamar, according to one who says, kol hakatuv behen me'akev behen, anything that's written in the miluim is me'akev, smicha me'akvo, and smicha would be me'akev in the performance of the miluim. The mandamar devar she'enu me'akev ledorot, enu me'akev behen. Someone who says that if in future generations smicha would not be me'akev, it would not cause a problem in the performance of the mitzvah, smicha lo me'akvo, and smicha would not also cause an issue in performance with regards to miluim. So Mar says, ledorot minalon lo me'akvo. How do you know that in future generations that smicha is not a problem? The Tanya that we have a breita, the pasuk found in the beginning of Vayikra says, samach yado arosh ha'ola, v'nirtzalo l'chaper alav. So we have the term smicha in the presence of the pasuk of l'chaper, indicating that there's some correlation between the performance of the smicha and the accomplishment of the kapara. And the Braita asks, v'chi smicha mechaperet? Is it really smicha that provides the atonement, that provides the kapara for the korban? Halo ein kapara ela bidam. We know that kapara is only attained through the dam. That's based on the pasuk later in Sefer Vayikra, which warns a person against consuming dam. When it says that one may not consume the dam, it gives the reason why people should not consume blood. Ki nefesh habasar badam hu, the life force of the animal or of the living being is in its blood. Vani netativ lachem al hamizbeach lechaper al nafshoteichem, and I gave you the blood to be utilized, to be placed on the mizbeach to attain atonement. Ki hadam hu banefesh yichaper, because through the dam, through the blood, one attains atonement, one attains kapara. So here the Torah indicates to you that the major component of kapara is accomplished through the dam. So if that's the case, then ma tamalomar v'samach v'nirtza. How could it be that smicha seems to indicate also that you attain kapara? So the Gemara says, she'im asaz nesmicha shayirei mitzvah, that if you make smicha into an afterthought, male agalav hakatuv ki'ilu lo kiper v'chiper. The Torah makes it as if you did not attain atonement, and you did attain atonement. As Rashi points out, you have accomplished the mitzvah, but not in its complete sense, which is that kiper legavro, the person himself, attained atonement, the ikar kapara badam, because the major component of kapara comes from the blood. Avalo kiper nami mitzvot kono. He did not accomplish what Hashem had asked from him, minamukar, in the best way possible. So lechatchilo, one would require the smicha, but bidiavad, if he did it without the smicha, he accomplishes the kapara. So atonement is attained, even though one does not do the smicha. But if one makes it like a shari mitzvah, as if it's a leftover, as if it's not necessary, then he is able to attain the atonement through the korban, through the dam, but then he, in some sense, violates the ability to do the korban in its most proper fashion, or he leaves over a part of the korban that he should have accomplished. The Gemara in Zvachim also offers alternative explanation to this, that his korban accomplishes the kapara, the atonement, for instance, in Olah, is mechaperet on mitzvot aseh, but it only mechaperet on the mitzvot aseh before, but does not mechaperet on the mitzvot aseh here that he violated of doing the smicha. So it accomplishes its goal, but now he's caused himself a new problem, which is that he forewent doing the mitzvot aseh smicha, and now he needs kapara for that, and that his korban will not cover. So one of those two formulations, either we're talking about in a narrow sense, it's mechaperet on all the mitzvot aseh, but it's not mechaperet on this violation that he didn't do smicha, or in the broader sense is that the korban is successful, it attains kapara, it does what it's supposed to do, but just didn't do it in the best way possible. He did not a subpar performance. And so because of that, we know that smicha is not me'akevet the dorot. If that's the case, then so too within the miluim, the smicha would not be me'akevet according to Rabbi Chanina. And that will be a nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. According to Rabbi Yochanan, since it's written within the parsha ha-miluim, it would be me'akev. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Chanina, since the dorot, it's not me'akev, so too, in the miluim, it's not me'akev. So that's the first difference that's noted over here. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Amar, Tnufa Ikavanayu. The wave offering is a difference between their opinions. As the Tosfot Yishanim points out over here, it's not that these Amuraim necessarily are mutually exclusive, it's they are adding one on top of the other. Rav Yosef makes a note, and then Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, well, you can also say this. And they all agree to these different opinions, they're just giving examples of differences between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. So Nachman Yitzchak says, "Tnufa iga beinayu." The man that Amar kol hakatuv behen me'akev behen. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says anything that's written there is me'akev with the miluim, tnufa is mentioned in the miluim, and therefore it would be me'akev. On the other hand, the man that Amar varshenu me'akev the dorot, enu me'akev behen. According to Rabbi Chanina, who says that if it's not me'akev the dorot, it's not me'akev in the miluim, lo me'akvo, then the tnufa would not be ma'akev, the performance of the miluim. Ulu dorot milalon t'lo ma'akva. But how do you know that in future generations, tnufa is not ma'akev, the accomplishment of the kapara? Titania, because we have a braita, it is written by the Tarat HaMitzora. When it comes to the dao, the poor person who brings his karbanot to be mitaher from Tumat HaMitzora, says v'mdalhu, if he's poor and he's unable to afford the korbanot, then he will bring one keves as an asham litnufa lichaper alav, as a wave offering in order to atone for him. So over there you see the term tnufa, wave offering, used in the context of kapara. And the Gemara asks the same thing that it did by smicha, v'chi tnufa mechaperet. Does the wave offering really accomplish the atonement? V'alo en kapara elav adam. Isn't that kapara accomplished through the blood? And quotes the same pasuk that we did before, which is Shnemar, Adam hu b'nefesh yichaper, that the atonement is accomplished through the dam of the korban. Matam lomar litnufa lechaper. So then, why is kapara mentioned in the context of the wave offering? She'im asa litnufa sheyarei mitzvah, that he makes the tnufa as if it's a extra or a bonus, something that's not part of the core mitzvah here. Again, the pasuk assigns to him the atonement of the korban. It does accomplish what it was supposed to do, but kilu lo kiper, he did that in a subpar performance. He attains the atonement for the gavra, for the individual, but he still has not accomplished the mitzvah min hamuvchar in the most proper way that you possibly could do it. Or again, like we said before, the other formulation in Zvachim would be that his korban accomplishes the atonement that he wanted, but now he has opened up another problem which he's going to need atonement for, which is that he just violated another mitzvah taseh, or he forewent another mitzvah taseh, which he's now going to have to attain atonement for. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa brings a third difference possibly between them, which is Prisha Shiva Ikomaneu, the necessity to separate out 7 days prior to the performance of the miluim on the Yom HaShmini, that is the difference between them. The manda marko lakatuv behen me'akev behen, anything that's written by the parshat miluim is me'akev, me'akvo, then it is ma'akev. Laman damar davar she'enu ma'akev ledorot enu ma'akev, and something that's not ma'akev ledorot is also not ma'akev with regards to the miluim. Lo ma'akva, this would not be ma'akev. Ulu dorot mi'alon de lo ma'akva. How do you know that in future generations the prisha is not ma'akev? Mirakatani matkinin v'lo katani mafrishin. He quotes something that we mentioned back on Daf Bet Amud Bet, which is that in the Mishnah, we have two Kohanim that are mentioned. We have the Kohen Gadol, who is sequestered prior to Yom HaKippurim. And then we mention the backup Kohen Gadol that is there in case something goes wrong with the primary Kohen Gadol. And as we noted back on Daf Bet Amud Bet, the Lashon that is used with regards to the preparation of the backup Kohen Gadol is Matkinin. We set up, we have in place the backup Kohen Gadol. But there it does not say mafrishin, that we also sequester the backup Kohen Gadol. If this was something that was me'akev, the ability to accomplish the avodah on Yom HaKippurim, then we would have to sequester the backup Kohen Gadol, because if he was the one in the end who came into service and he had not done prisha, then he would not be able to perform the service on Yom HaKippurim. By the fact that the Mishnah does not require the sequestering of the backup Kohen Gadol, shows you that that is not ma'akev in the avodat Yom HaKippurim. So again, Rabbi Yochanan would say it is ma'akev with regards to the milumim, because it's written there. And Rabbi Chanina will say, well, since the dorot prisha, that separation is not ma'akev, so too by the milumim, it would not be ma'akev. Ravina amar, ribui shiv'a umishicha shiv'a ika benayhu. The necessity to perform on a continuous basis for 7 days the avodah by the Kohen Gadol in his big day, Kehuna Gedolah, plus anointing him with the oil, the Shemen HaMishcha, for 7 days, that is the difference between them. But that is, the Manda, Marikolakatu Behen Ma'akev Behen, the one who says that anything that's written in the Miluim is Ma'akev, then Ma'akvo, because this is written in the process of the Shiva Timei HaMiluim, in the 7 days of Miluim, Aaron HaKohen, in his big day, Kehuna Gedolah, serviced each one of those 7 days. Number two is that the Shemen HaMishcha was poured on him and his children each one of those 7 days. So therefore, it would be Ma'akev, according to the one who says that anything that is written in the Miluim is Ma'akev, so too, this would be Ma'akev. On the other hand, if you believe that Tavar She'eno Ma'akev L'Dorot Eino Ma'akev Behen, anything that is not Ma'akev L'Dorot is not Ma'akev by the Miluim, Lo Ma'akva, it would not be Ma'akev over here. Now the term Ribui or Miruba Bigadim is a terminology that is used with regards to the Kohen Gadol. The word Abba or Ribui means extra or excess. The Kohen Gadol has the extra clothing that he wears beyond that of the Kohen Hedyot. Kohen Hedyot wears 4 big day kihuna. Kohen Gadol has another 4 big gadim that he wears on top, or in excess of the Kohen Hedyot, which are 8 big day kihuna gedolah. So the Kohen Gadol is called Meruba Bigadim, or Ribui Bigadim, for 7 days is based on the Kohen Gadol, who has more clothing than the Kohen Hedyot, serving for 7 days. And then Mishicha refers to the pouring of the Shemen Mishcha on the head of the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, like in each of these other cases, L'dorot minalon d'lo ma'akva, how do you know that it's not ma'akev l'dorot? How do you know that a Kohen Gadol does not have to serve 7 days straight in order to attain the status of Kohen Gadol? D'tanya, we have a braita with regards to the performance of the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim. It says towards the end, V'chiper HaKohen Hashem Shachoto, Asher Yimalei Et Yado. The Kohen will attain the Kapara. He is the one, Hashem Shachoto, that is anointed for this purpose. Asher Yimalei Et Yado, V'chein Tachar Aviv. And who is Yimalei, filled in, take over from his father? Labash Bigdei Abad, Bigdei HaKodesh. And he will wear the Bigadim that the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom HaKippurim. Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim switches back and forth, as we'll see later in the Masechta, between his 8 big day Kehuna Gedolah and the 4 Bigadim of the Kohen Gadol, which are equivalent to the 4 Bigadim normally that a Kohen Hedyot wears during the week. The Kohen Gadol performs in his big day Lavan, in that more stripped down version of the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, 4 out of the 8 garments that the Kohen Gadol normally wears, he utilizes to do the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim. So here you have, Yichiper HaKohen Asher Yimshach Oto. So Yimshach sounds like one time. Asher Yimalei Et Yado. Yimalei Et Yado also is that he comes into service by the Bigadim. Again, that seems to be written in the singular form. So Matam Adomar, why do I need this Pasuk? Because it's obvious that the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim is done by the Kohen Gadol. Until this point in time, in Parshat Achrei Mot, the Kohen Gadol is the only one who's mentioned. It's Aaron who's mentioned who does the avoda, and the Kohen Gadol does all the avoda. So why do I need this concluding pasuk that tells me that the Kohen Gadol is the one who does the avoda? That is obvious from the parsha itself. So that's what the Gemara or the Braita asks. And therefore it says, Lefi Shenemar, because it says by the Miluim. Now with regards to the Miluim, there are two mentions of the Miluim. There's the Tzivui HaMiluim, which is the command to perform the Miluim, which is found in Parshat Tetzaveh. And then there's the actual carrying out of the Miluim, which is mentioned in Parshat Tzav. So here in Parshat Tetzaveh it says, Shivat Yamim Yobeshem HaKohen Tachtam Mibanav. It says for 7 days, the Kohen will wear them Tachtach Mibanav. The one who fills in to be the Kohen Gadol has to wear the Bigadim, and that he has to wear them for 7 days. Ein li ela nitrabe shiv'a v'nimshach shiva. Sounds like from this, or the pasuk that we found in Miluim, that a Kohen Gadol will only be classified as a Kohen Gadol or be able to do the avoda if nitrabe shiva, if he wore the Bigadim for 7 days and worked 7 days straight with the Big Day Kuna, v'nimshach shiva, and he was anointed for 7 days. If he wore the bigadim for 7 days, but he only has anointed for 1 day, or nitrabe yom echad, if he wore the bigadim for 1 day, and he got anointed for 7 days, minayin. How do I know that that also accomplishes the attainment of the kedusha of the kohen gadol, to make him ra'oi for the avodah? Tamal omar, asher imshach oto, v'asher yimale et yado. Bikomakom. So from the pasuk that we quote here from Achrei Mot, you see that in the singular form, Hashem Shachoto, Hashem Malayat Yado, that Mishicha of 1 day is sufficient, as well as Yimalayat Yado, the wearing of the Bigadim for 1 day is sufficient to accomplish them. Ashkecha and Ribui, Shiv'a Lechatchila. Okay, the Pasuk in Tetzaveh says, Shivat Yamim Yu B'Shem HaKohen Tachtav Mibanat. There we have an explicit Pasuk that tells us that the proper way to accomplish the putting of the Kohen Gadol into service is to have him wear the Bigadim 7 days straight. Mishicha shiva lechatchila minolan. How do I know that Mishicha, the anointing of the Kohen Gadol, also in its most proper form should be for 7 days? Ibai deima, one answer is, midi itzri yikra de mi'uta, the fact that the pasuk in Achrei Mot says in the singular form that milui bigadim, or ribui bigadim, and Mishicha in the singular form to teach you that one is sufficient, that means that obviously you only need that pasuk if you had thought there were more. So if it tells you by Mishicha that you only need one, so the pasuk in elsewhere tells you you need 7. The same thing by Ribui Bigadim. If the pasuk in Achrei Mot tells you you only need 1, that means that somewhere else it must mean that you need 7. The fact that the pasuk comes to tell you only 1 means that somewhere else you would have thought 7. And that's how we know that 7 is also applicable by the Mishicha. V'ibay Tema, and others suggest, Amar Kra, Uvig Dei HaKodesh, Asher Leron, Yudu Banav Acharav, the Big Day Kodesh, the Big Day Adim of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Gadiot will be passed down to their children after them, in order to be anointed in them, and to wear them to attain the Kedusha of the Kohen or the Kohen Gadol. Because as we know, when they're wearing their Big Day Kuna, they have a status of a Kohen. When they're not wearing the Bigadim, they don't have a status of a Kohen. But here you see in that pasuk that there is Itkish Mishicha Liribui. There's a Hekesh. There's a correlation because of the juxtaposition of the pasuk between Mishicha, anointing, and Ribui, and the wearing of the clothing. Maribui Shiv'a. Just like the pasuk in Titzaveh explicitly tells us that the proper way to do this is for 7 days, because it says Shivat Yamim Yo B'Shem HaKohen Tachtav Mibanav HaMishicha Shiva. So too, the same will be with Mishicha because of its correlation or connection to the wearing of the clothing. The Gemara moves on from Nafkaminot between them to the source for Rabbi Yochanan's position that anything that is written in the Parsha of the Miluim is Me'akev. That's what the Gemara wants to know. My time, what is the reasoning behind the position of the one or the individual who says that anything that's written in the Miluim is classified as being me'akev? The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna, Amar Kora, the pasuk says, V'yasita l'aron ulvanav kacha. You should do as such to aron ulvanav, referring to the process of doing the Miluim. Kacha iguvahu. The word kacha comes to teach you that it is me'akev. Kacha means like this, exactly like this. That's what you must do in order to accomplish the miluim, indicating that it's me'akev. Anything that you deviate from kacha, from exactly like this, will make it pasul. Gemara says, Tinach kol milto That works well for anything that is written Kiktiva b'hayinyono, that is written by Parshat Tetzaveh. So again, as I mentioned before, in Parshat Tetzaveh, it mentions the process of accomplishing the Miluim. The actual carrying out of the Miluim is mentioned in Parshat Tzav. So now, this pasuk of Kacha, this Ikuv is written in Parshat Tetzaveh, which means that anything that is written in the commandment of the Miluim has this pasuk Kacha about it that is Me'akev. But what about D'lo K'tiva B'hayinyano? Things that are not written in Parshat Tetzaveh, Minolan, how do we know? Things that are not written in Parshat Tetzaveh but do appear in Parshat Tzav, how do I know that those are Me'akev? There are certain things that are not mentioned in the Tzivui HaMiluim, but actual carrying out of the Miluim in Parshat Tzav are enumerated over there. How do I know those are also Me'akev? The example here that is brought by Rashi as a difference between them, placement of the Urim HaTumim into the Choshen. In Parshat Tzav, it says, in the accomplishment of the Miluim, or the actual practice of the Miluim, Vayiten Elav et HaChoshen, Vayiten El HaChoshen et Urim v'et HaTumim. It says over there that Moshe Rabbeinu places the Choshen onto Aaron, and then he places the Urim v'Tumim into the Choshen. But that is not mentioned in Parshat Tetzaveh. Even though if you look in Tetzaveh, it is mentioned there, that is only mentioned in the beginning of Tetzaveh in the description of the Big Day Kuhuna, not in the context of the Miluim. There it's just mentioned in the context of the Big Day Kehuna. But in the process of dressing Aaron in the Miluim, in Parshat Tetzaveh, this is not mentioned, the placement of the Urim V'Tumim into the Choshen. Rashi says, here's an example, something that is not written in Parshat Tetzaveh, is mentioned in Parshat Tzav. How do I know that that is Me'akev? The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, believes that the difference between Parshat Tetzaveh and Parshat Tzav is actually the Prishah, the separation for 7 days, the sequestering of the Kohanim, which is not written amongst the instructions in Parshat Tetzaveh, but yet is mentioned at the tail end of the Miluim in Parshat Tzav, that they must remain Petach O Moed. So even though this is one of the Nafkuminot that was mentioned before in the previous Amud between Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Yochanan, that item, that Prishah, is actually only mentioned in Parshat Tzav, and not in Parshat Tetzaveh. The Gemara wants to know, how do I know it is Me'akev if it's not mentioned in Parshat Tetzaveh, where you have the word Kacha? So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Yalev Petach Petach. We have a Gzeirah Shava of Petach Petach, because by Parshat Tetzaveh, it's written Petach O Moed, and in Parshat Tzav, it's also written Petach O Moed. That Gzeirah Shava teaches us that just like everything by Parshat Tetzaveh is Me'akev because of the word Kacha, we're able to carry over that ikuv to Parshat Tzav because of this Gezeirah Shava of Petach Ol Moed, which brings it over to Parshat Tzav and has it as if the word Kacha is not only written by Parshat Tetzaveh, but it's also written by Parshat Tzav. Rav Misharji Amar, Ushmartem et Mishmeret Hashem. That we have a terminology that is used by the Miluim, which is Ushmartem et Mishmeret Hashem, and that is ikuva. That's a lashon of ikuva, which means you must keep that which Hashem has asked from you. That comes to say that whatever Hashem asks you to do is me'akev. Rav Ashi Amar, kichein tzuveiti. It says in the pasuk that this is the way that I commanded you. Now, that's ikuva. That's the ikuva. It's later on in the parsha when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Aaron. He says, that's what I told you to do. This is what you must do. You must follow the instructions that I gave you. And so when Moshe Rabbeinu says that, that indicates that whatever which was said or done through Parshat Tzav is also me'akev. So here we have three different approaches by the Amoraim to explain why not only the things that are written in Parshat Tetzaveh are me'akev, but even things that are mentioned in Parshat Tzav are also me'akev. The tail end of the performance of the Miluim, it says, "Upetach omoed teshvu yomam v'layla shivat yamim ushmartem et mishmeret Hashem v'lo tamutu v'chein tzuveiti." That pasuk is the source for the three different Amoraim as to why that which is mentioned in Parshat Tzav, the accomplishment of the Miluim, is Me'akev, either because of the Gzeirah Shava Petach Ol Moed, or because it says Ushmartem and Mishmeret Hashem, or the concluding words here that Rav Ashi mentions, Kichein Tzuveiti. So now the Gemara brings a Braita that wants to understand why the Kashir Tziva Hashem, or the terminology that this is the way that it was commanded, is mentioned so many times within the context of the Miluim. As Rav Ashi pointed out already, at the tail end of the performance of the Miluim, it says, "Uchichein tzuveiti." We know that this "Chichein tzuveiti" is mentioned by the Shivat Yimei Miluim is Me'akev, We also find a similar terminology with regards to the eighth day on the Yom HaShmini. After the death of Nadav ben Avihu, along comes Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to Aaron uvanav, and he tells them, first of all, with regards to the mincha that came on Yom HaShmini, it says, V'achaltem ota b'makom kadosh, ki cholcha v'chok manecha hu mishe Hashem, ki chein tzuveti. Because that was what I was commanded. That's the first time it's mentioned. Then, in the subsequent psukim there, on Yom HaShmini, it says, Shoka truma b'chaseh t'nufa l'sheh achalavim yavyu lanif t'nufa l'pnei Hashem, like Hashem said, you must do this part of the Avodah. Then, once again, Moshe Rabbeinu, in questioning why Aaron uvanav do not perform the entire Avodah of the Yom HaShmini, because they are Onanim, they're Onanim because Nadav and Avihu just passed away, their brothers or Aaron's sons, and an Onan would have been precluded from performing the Avodah in the Mikdash. Nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu says to them that you must continue to do the avodah of Yom HaShmini despite their status as Onanim, but then we see that they did not do exactly what they were supposed to do. Moshe questions why Aaron uvanav did not do as he had suggested, which is despite the fact that they are Onanim here, which would generally preclude them from the ability to accomplish avodah in the Mikdash. So over there, Moshe questions the action of Aaron uvanav. It says, Madu lo achaltem et hachatat bimkom hakodesh. Why did you not eat the chatat? Ki kodesh kodeshim hu. Vata natan lechem laseit davon ha'ida. And this was given to you to carry the sin of the nation, the chaper lehem lifnei Hashem. Hein luhuva adama lakodesh pnima, achol tochlu ota bakodesh kasher tziveti, where the way I commanded you by the mincha. So you see over here, three times this issue of tziva is brought up. The Moshe Rabbeinu says you must eat the mincha, despite the fact that you're onanim. Ki chein tziveti, that's what Hashem told me. You must have the chazeh atnufan shoka truma, kasher tziva Hashem, as Hashem has commanded you. And then lastly, Moshe questions why they didn't eat the chatat, the way that kasher tziveti, the way that I commanded you above. So here the Braita discusses these three terms that are mentioned here. We mentioned it before in the Shivat Yemei Miluim that it's Ma'akev. Now I have it mentioned three times by the eighth day of the Miluim. In that eighth day, why does it mention these terms? It says, kichein tziveti, kasher tziveti, kasher tziva Hashem. So as Rashi points out, every time Moshe Rabbeinu tells Bnei Yisrael or Aaron about something, does the Torah come and tell us that they did it? Or they did exactly kasher tziveti as I was commanded. So here the Braita explains that what each of these items is for. It says, kichein tziveti be'aninu tshuchlu. By the mincha, it says, kichein tziveti, I was commanded that you eat it. Despite the fact that you're onanim, you must eat it. Kasher tziveti b'gashat maaseh amar lahem. Kasher tziveti is mentioned when Aaron uvanav go ahead and burn the chataat and do not eat it. Moshe Rabbeinu questions them and says, why did you do this? Didn't I already tell you that by the mincha, you eat it even though you're onanim? The same should have been true by the chatat. And the kasher tziva Hashem that is mentioned by the chazeh and the shok of tnufa, lo me'elai ani omer, I don't make this up, but this is coming from Hashem. So as Rashi points out over here, the Moshe Rabbeinu actually made a mistake in the din over here. He thought that Hashem's din with regards to onain should be extrapolated to all the avodot of Yom HaShmini. But the avodot of Yom HaShmini involve a number of items. There's some items with regards to the avodah of Yom HaShmini that were unique to that eighth day. But there are some items that would happen because it also happens to be that the eighth day was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And that is what happens to be the difference that Aaron drew between the two items. Aaron says that Moshe comes to him and commands him that despite the fact that you're onein, you still eat in the Kodeshim and you still participate in the avodah that's here. Because Yom HaShmini goes on kiragil, like normal. But Aaron learned from that command that Moshe Rabbeinu is that anything that related specifically to the eighth day would go on as normal. But anything that was part of the normal avoda of the Mishkan, for instance, that it was Rosh Chodesh, that would not be governed by this special dispensation that an Onain would eat it. And that's why they burnt that chatat. The chatat that they burnt was the chatat of Rosh Chodesh. There were a number of chataot that were brought on that day. There was the Seir of Rosh Chodesh, the Seir of Chatat that comes in every Rosh Chodesh as part of the Musafim. There was the Seir of Nachshon because we began the process of the Nisi'im bringing their Kavanot in the Mikdash. And Nachshon ben Aminadab was the first one on the first day, which was Rosh Chodesh. He also had a Seir of Chatat. In addition to that, there's also a Seir of Chatat that is mentioned with regards to the performance of the Avodah on Yom HaShmini. So with regards to the Seir HaChatat of Nachshon and the Seir HaChatat of Yom HaShmini, Aaron says, then I will extrapolate what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, that by the Mincha, Aninut doesn't have application Yom HaShmini, and therefore we'll have to eat those two Chataot, and everything will be normal with them. On the other hand, with the Seir HaChatat of Rosh Chodesh, since that's normal Avodah that is performed every day in the Mikdash, that I will not extrapolate the din to. And that's why, when Moshe comes to be Doresh Dorash, he comes to find out, why did they burn the Chatat? And he asks Aaron for an explanation. He said, did this happen, did this happen, did this happen? Then I don't understand why you burnt the Chatat. Why didn't you eat it? And Aaron's response to him is, Vayidaber Aaron and Moshe, Heina yom ikrivu et chatatam ve'et olotam lifnei Hashem, Vatikrenu oti ka'ela, v'achalti chatat hayom ha'itav be'inei Hashem. Would it be okay in the eyes of Hashem if I ate a chatat, which was brought as part of the normal process of the day and not part of Yom HaShmini? Meaning that the chatat of Rosh Chodesh should not have the same din as the chataot that are related to Yom HaShmini. I understand that we cannot have our aninut spoil the day of Hashem, spoil the Yom HaShmini of Hashem, and therefore there are special dispensations on this day that I may partake in the Kodeshim, despite the fact that I am an Onein. On the other hand, when it comes to Avodot, that are regular day Avodot in the Mishkan, with regards to that, there is no special dispensation, and that is the Chatat of Rosh Chodesh, and therefore, I would not participate in the Chatat of Rosh Chodesh, despite the fact that I'm an Onein, and was commanded to partake of it, because it's not a part of the services of Yom HaShmini. And so that is why the Brit here mentions the words, Kasher Tzivar, Chen Tziveti, Chirein Tziveti, so many times. One is Moshe Rabbeinu instructing Aaron how to act, despite the fact that he's an Onein. And then there's Moshe Rabbeinu asking Aaron, didn't I already tell you about this information? How come you're not listening to me? And then we have Aaron's response, which is that there is a differentiation, or I can differentiate between the Chatat of Rosh Chodesh versus items that are particular to Yom HaShmini, which are Kuchein Tzuveiti. Those are Me'akev, and those are things that are done despite the fact that I am an Onein. So now the Gemara continues to discuss some of the differences that come up between Parshat Tetzaveh and Parshat Tzav. So the Michnasayim, the pants, the knickers, they were worn by the Kohanim as part of their Big Day Kuhuna in the Mikdash. And we know that Kasher Big Dahem Alehem Kuhanim Alehem, when they wear the Big Day Kuhuna, then they are Kohanim. Without it, they are not Kohanim. Ein Ketuvim V'Parsha. They're not mentioned, not in Parshat Tetzaveh, and not in Parshat Tzav as part of the process of Miluim. So how do I know that they're actually included in the Miluim? Kishua Mer Zadavar Shita Selehem Lekadeshotam Lechain Lavia Mechnesayim Vyasivita Ifa. That comes to include these additional items that are not mentioned. One of the items that's not mentioned is the Mechnesayim. The other thing that's not mentioned is the Mincha, the Yasivita Ifa, the Minchat Chavitim of the Kohen Kahijot that is brought when he first goes into service, and that of the Kohen Gadol, which is brought each day in the Mikdash, the Minchat Chavitin. So how do I know that those items are also included? It's included from Yizeh Adavar. So it says, in Parshat Tetzaveh, when it's coming to explain the Miluim, it says, V'zeh Adavar asher taseh lahem l'kadesh otam l'chayin. This is what you must do to them in order to bring them into their kihuna. This is what's going to happen on the Shivat Yemei HaMiluim. So l'havi ha-michnesayim v'asirin t'ayifa. Then it comes to include two items. One of them is the michnesayim. With regards to the arba, to the four big day kihuna of the Kohen Hajot and the eight of the Kohen Gadol, they are mentioned there in Parshat Tetzaveh with the absence of the Michnasayim pants or the knickers that the Kohanim wore. Those are mentioned in the big day kihuna, but they're not mentioned in the process of the Kohen being inaugurated in the Shivat Yemei HaMiluim. So the word vizeh has a vav achibur, and at the end of Parshat Tetzaveh describes the Miluim. And early in Parshat Tetzaveh describes the Big Day Kuhuna. The Vav HaChibur says V. In addition, meaning that which was mentioned before, which is the Michnasayim. So that's what it comes to include the Michnasayim. So that's what the Gemara says. Bishlama Michnasayim Ktivei Binyana De Begadim in the earlier parts of Parshat Tetzaveh, here in the Begadim, and that's how Bizah Davar includes them. Ela Sirita Ifa Minolon. The Sirita Ifa, which is mentioned in Parshat Tzav and not in Parshat Tetzaveh, how do I know that that is also a part of the process? Atya Ze. We have a gzeirah shavah of zeh. Mizeh korban aron uvanav, asher yakrivu la'ashem, asirit ha'ifa. In Sefer Vayikra, when it mentions the minchat chavitin that is brought by the Kohen Gadol when he works as the Kohen Gadol each day, or the Kohen Hediot when he comes into service for the first time, over there it says the word vizeh. And also over here, in our parsha it says vizeh, to tell you that the Asirat Ha'Eifa is a part of the Shivat Yimei HaMiluim. Now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Minayim Sha'af Mikra Parsha Me'akev. How do I know that also the reading of the Parsha is Me'akev? Not only is the performance of the Miluim Me'akev, but also the instructions that are given to Moshe Rabbeinu, telling those over to Bnei Yisrael and to Aaron of Anav, that is Me'akev. Tamal Omar, Vayomer Moshe La'eda, Zeh Devar Shetziva Hashem. So that Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Eda in front of Bnei Yisrael and says, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem. This is what Hashem commanded us. Zeh HaDavar. Gemara says Zeh and Davar. Davar meaning Dibur. This Dibur is Asher Tziva Hashem. Afilu Dibur Me'akev. That even the telling over of the Parsha is Me'akev, because Zeh seems to indicate that this must be done. And what is must be done is Hadavar. Hadavar meaning the Dibur, not the Davar, not the Miluim itself, but rather the instructions of the Miluim must be related or retold to you, and that's Me'akev, the accomplishment of the Miluim. Now, Ketzad Hilbisham. How did Moshe Rabbeinu dress the Kohanim? Now, this is brought up because in Parshat Tetzaveh, in the description of the Miluim, as well as in Parshat Tzav, in the description of the actual accomplishment of the Miluim, there's a slight nuance or differences between the way that Moshe Rabbeinu dressed the Kohen Hedyot, meaning the children of Aaron, and the Kohen Gadol, Aaron himself, in those two Parshiot. And so the Gemara now wants to understand which one of them governs the way that it was done. And then based on that, why do we need the Pasuk in the other case, which seems to indicate otherwise? And that is, Ketzad Hilbishan, how did Moshe dress them? So Gemara says, May the Hava Hava. Why does it make a difference? Whatever happened, happened. It makes no difference to us. Halachically now, how Moshe dressed Aaron uvanav. Ela, Ketzad Malbisham latid davo. And we need to know in the future when they come back, Tchiyat HaMeitim, we have Aaron uvanav, we want to know how we're going to put them into service, how we're going to dress them. Marzez, latid davo, nami, likshiavo Aaron uvanav Moshe imahem. In the future, we're not going to have to worry about it. Aaron uvanav will come, Moshe will be with him, and Moshe will tell us what we need to do. Ela, Ketzad Ubishpam. So how did he dress them? This beer cry. We need to know this because we understand how to explain the psukim in the Torah. You're right, it has no halakhic ramifications, but it does have implications as far as how we explain the psukim that are found in the Torah. So, pligi ba b'nei Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Yochanan. The machloka between b'nei Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan, how exactly it was accomplished. Chadamar, one of them says, Aaron, v'achar kach banav. That Moshe Rabbeinu dressed Aaron completely in his bigadim, and then afterwards he dressed the children. Chadamar, Aaron uvanav v'batachat. He did them together. Now, Bavat Achat doesn't literally mean simultaneously, but it means that he did not complete the dressing of Aaron before he also dressed the children, and then he accomplished something together. We'll explain this in 1 second. So, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Biktonet umitznefet kuli amalo plige. Nobody argues with regards to the ktonet, which is the tunic, umitznefet, which is the hat worn by the Kohanim, the lo plige, nobody argues, daron v'charkach banav. That first the Ktonet and the Mitznefer were placed on Aaron, and then afterwards on his children. I mean that there we know for sure Aaron was done first, and then the children afterwards. The Ben B'Tzava'ah, because whether it's in the command in Parshat Tetzaveh, or Ben B'Asiyah, the actual accomplishing of it in Parshat Tzav, says Aaron Kadim. Aaron was ridden first with regards to the dressing. Ki Plige, where do they argue is B'Avnei, with regards to the belt that was put around them. Manda Mar Aaron V'Acharkach Banav, the one who says that Moshe first dressed Aaron completely, and then his children, Tichtiv, because it says in Parshat Tzav, Vayachor Oto Be'avneit, says that he girded him or belted him with the belt, Hadarktiv, Vayachor Otam Avneit, and then subsequently it says that he put that around his children. Manda Amar Aaron Uvanav Be'batachat, that it was accomplished simultaneously, Tichtiv, because it says in Parshat Tetzaveh, V'chagarta Otam Avneit, Aaron Uvanav. So it says that he put the Avneit around them. Aaron Uvanav sounds like he did it together. So now the Gemara says, okay, but they both have both psukim. What are we going to do this? According to one who says, based on the pasuk in Tetzaveh, that they were done simultaneously, Haktiv, doesn't it say in Parshat Tzav, Vayachor Oto Be'avneit? Vayachtiv, Vayachor Otam Be'avneit. Says first the Avneit was placed on Aaron, and then afterwards it was placed on his children. That comes to teach you that the belt that was worn, the gartel that was worn by Aaron, was different than the gartel that is worn by the Kohen Gadol. This happens to be a machloket because in the Torah it says that by the Maseh Avneit of the Kohen Gadol, in the making of the Avneit of the Kohen Gadol, it says, Bet Avneit Shesh Mazar Tchelet V'Argaman. From there you learn that Shesh Mazar which is linen, and Techelet and Argaman, which are wool, means that the Avnit was made out of Yilayim. The question is, with regards to the belt of the Kohen Gadol, is the belt of the Kohen Gadol the same as that which is described by the Kohen Gadol? And therefore, just like the belt of the Kohen Gadol is Kilayim, so too the belt of the Kohen Yadot is also Kilayim? Or is it only the belt of the Kohen Gadol that is Kilayim because other pieces of clothing of the Kohen Gadol are also Kilayim? But with regards to the clothing of the Kohen Yadot, they're all made out of boots. They're all made out of linen. And so too, the Avnit of the Kohen Yadot will also be made out of boots, out of linen. So that is a machlokan as to what is the status of the Avnit of the Kohen Yadot. So the Mandamar who says that the Pasuk in Titzaveh governs, which tells you that Aaron and Banav had their belts placed on simultaneously, then the Pasuk in Tzav that says that Aaron goes first and then his children go separately has come to teach you not in terms of the placement of the belt, but rather about the belt itself. That the belt of the Kohen Gadol was made out of Kilayim, but the belt of the Kohen Hejot is totally separate, and theirs will be made out of boots, just made out of linen. According to the one who says that the Pasuk in Tzav governs, that first Aaron is fully dressed, and then afterwards his children are dressed, what does he do with the Pasuk that is found in Parshat Titzaveh that says, he'll come to the exact opposite conclusion. The reason there that they are meshed together is to teach you, just like the belt of the Kohen Gadol is made out of Kilayim, so too the belt of the Kohen Yot is made out of Kilayim. So why do you have to teach me that they also have a belt put on? Shmamina, Aron v'charkach banav. That from Pasha Tzav comes to teach you that first Aron is fully dressed, and then his children are dressed. And the Pasuk that is found in Parshat Titzaveh that seems to indicate that they are done together, that's to come to teach you that they have the same belt. And now the Gemara ends with, Ubabat achat mimishkachala. Can you really simultaneously put their belts on? Lo, tzricha de'aktim. Now, it's not that they literally did it simultaneously, but rather, what they ended up doing was dressing the Kohen Gadol without his avnate, then dressing the Kohen Hejot, meaning that the sons of Aaron, they dressed them entirely, and then he came back and put the belt on Aaron, and he put the belt on the children. So the difference in opinion would be with regards to the placement of the belt. We're the one who says that you do it Aaron first, and then Banav, it means you dress Aaron fully, including his belt that is put on him. Then you finish with Aaron, with the big day, Kuna Gdola, and putting on his belt. Now you move on to the Kohen Hejot, and you dress them fully, and then you put on their gartel, you put around the belt around him. According to the one who says, no, it's done simultaneously, you first fully dress Aaron, with the exception of his Avnate. Then you dress the Kohen Hejot, I mean his sons, fully, without their Avnate. Then you go back to Aaron, put on his belt, and then put on the belt of the Kohen Hejot. So that's the question of whether the belt is left over to be done at the end together, obviously not simultaneously, with the Kohen Gadol first and then the Kohen Hejot, or do we dress the Kohen Gadol completely, finish with him completely, and then move on to the Kohen Hejot? That is the machloket over here. The one thing to note is that we know that there are four big day kihuna, and over here the Gemara mentioned with regards to the mitznefet and the tonet, there's no machloket that Aaron was done first and then the children. Regards to the avnate, the belt, we have this machloket. What happened to the michnasayim? What happened to the pants, the knickers that the kohanim wear? So Rashi says, michnasayim lo tzurach lomar, you didn't have to mention michnasayim here in the description of Aron Ovanav, because sharihin kod min lakol. Everybody knows that that goes first. That's the first thing that you got to put on, because the Gemara is going to tell us that they're me'akev, that the michnasayim have to be the first of the big day kohuna that are placed on the kohanim. And therefore, of course you put on the michnasayim first, and then you put on the tonet and the mitznefet. So they are part of that first grouping of clothing where it's clear that Aaron goes first and then the Kohen Hejot. On the other hand, Tosafot says, Adelo nakik nami michnasayim nearly mishum de mefarish de ben bitzava ben beasiya Aaron kadim. Because there it's clear that Aaron goes first with regard to these items. Umichnasayim lo tivi lo bitzava velo beasiya. And the michnasayim are not mentioned in either case. So with regards to the mitznefet and the tonet, it's clear that Aaron goes before Banav. And with regards to the Avnate, we have the question, because there's a difference between the Tzava'ah and the Asiyah. With the Michnasayim that are not mentioned in either case, then they're not governed by any of this. They don't have anything to do with this. Although it's clear that in the case that Aaron always goes before his children, so too would be the same by the Michnasayim, that Aaron should go before his children, and it's not mentioned in either the Tzava'ah or the Asiyah, and therefore should be governed by the normal rules of etiquette, which is that the Kohen Gadol goes before the Kohen Hejot. Okay, we'll stop over here.